So I just pulled up to the home of John Daly, the comedian, one of my good friends and one of the funniest people going. Here he comes. He's got his tea. He's got a little chair.
Hi.
How are you?
Are we recording?
We are.
Oh, man. How's it going?
Good. It's like WTF. I just jump right in.
Yeah, you jumped right in. You totally, this is Mark Maron's technique you're
stealing. Yeah, and then suddenly you realize the show started 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, oh, man. You got me being so real.
You did. Didn't you do like bits on his thing early? On Marin's, didn't
on
you?
On WTF?
Yeah.
Yes.
You did like characters.
Mark was generous enough to have me on the show twice. Uh-huh. Once I did this character called Come On Now that I do live a lot and is like one of my favorite things to do live. It's very fun. Just this comic that's all setups and the punchline's always Come On Now. Uh-huh. And big 1 minute pauses and everything. And yeah, and Mark saw that and liked it and we went and did, an episode, but it was very early on. Mm-hmm. It was very early on in WTF, and I think, like, he obviously doesn't have characters anymore, so it was like me doing, like, a crazy character. And I, even in the middle, I was like, I kind of, like, have, like, you know, Mark was, like, a big deal for me, kind of, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was kind of just like, all right, well, I don't know about that, but hey, that was really cool, man. And then I listened to the next episode with John Benjamin, and they made, and he kind of dissed me, and I didn't know him, like, I hadn't met him yet, but he kind of was like, hey, what was the deal with that, that last episode?
That's what Benjamin said?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What's going on with that last, that?
Yeah, that, and then I did Bill Cosby Bukowski later.
Which is one of your all-time... That's like a greatest hit.
A classic bit that I had to stop doing, and now is... It's public. It's public domain. Anyone can do
anybody. So you just, it's kind of like,
yeah,
the way you can do like Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
And you don't have to get, because it's just free.
Yeah. Robin Hood. Like, yeah. I'm not going to do it, but go ahead.
So you have accelerated the public domain status of Bill Cosby Bukowski.
Yeah.
Like the 75 year way you jumped to just say, yeah. Five, you can get, you guys can have it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, after all, I did it before all the, you know, obviously Hannibal, you know, kind of did the whole thing blew up and everybody knew that he was literally Satan.
Yeah.
And so then I tried it once actually after that.
Uh-huh.
And I felt bad about trying it too. I was like, oh, should I still do this? I don't think I should. And it was kind of like, it was definitely like beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was, I did it and the audience was just not having it, so it was just also I was just like, I feel disgusting
just so. Kind of entering that.
Yeah.
What if you know, you jump forward 40 years, now you're just an old guy, and then there's just a huge movie franchise, Bill Cosby Bukowski, and you're just like,
damn it,
I told everybody they could do it, and they're just making piles of money.
Unreal.
You'd be like one of those old guys who wrote Batman.
Yeah.
Who's just like, who are just like, they paid me $12,000 a year.
Yeah.
And then when I complained about money for creating Batman, they gave me like a washer and dryer.
Yeah.
And that shut me up for a while, or a new car.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, and they keep renewing it. There's a live action Bill Cosby Bukowski. Yeah. There's an anime.
Yeah. Exactly. Christopher Nolan's grandson is directing them. I gotta move up. Oh no.
But
hold on.
Oh, we gotta move. Do a move for my neighbor.
This is what it takes to do this. Unplugging mics, making it so people can pull out. What an adventure. This is what the best show has become now. We're rogue. Guy in a neighboring driveway has to get out, so I gotta pause an episode of the best show to make way for a truck to pull out. Because did you hear, like, I guess the UCB in New York is closed?
Yeah.
Like they announced today?
They shut down the UCB. I'm sure they'll open another theater eventually.
In some form, I guess it'll...
Yeah, they're continuing doing classes and...
Yeah.
Man, UCB, yeah, it's like without them, I owe them everything.
Uh-huh.
Kind of, you uh-huh. know? It's just like the whole community, the whole getting to know those guys and,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Because you came from Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Right to
yep.
New York City.
Yeah.
And who did you come to the city with? Who were your initial crew?
My initial crew, wow, yeah. was my initial crew was I lived in an apartment with my friend Vadim and Adrian Grenier
mm-hmm.
from Entourage.
That's right.
Lived with them for about a year. They were Adrian was generous enough to let me like crash in his
okay
thing.
And was he at that point? Where was he on the spectrum of fame?
Well, let me tell you what I was doing. I was working at Starbucks.
Okay.
and then I got like slightly better barista jobs.
Okay.
You know?
Sure.
And then started waiting tables. And so I was definitely working at Starbucks at that point, and he was doing the Woody Allen movie Celebrity.
That's right.
Yeah. And I remember him being like, yo, man, I got a Woody Allen movie.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God.
And that was like the movie after Titanic, because Leonardo DiCaprio was in Celebrity.
Yeah.
And it was just like, hey, his movie after Titanic is Celebrity. So all these like.
That's right.
All these like 13-year-old girls who were like swooning for the guy from Titanic went and saw some Woody Allen movie
that he's with in Kenneth like, Branagh yeah. like Kenneth Branagh like oh Jesus and Woody Allen yeah. he's the most Woody Allen yeah. surrogate
Kenneth Branagh doing a Woody Allen impression and Leonardo DiCaprio's in it for 4 minutes and like these kids are going to see because they need like their Leo fix
yeah
and then suddenly they're just like And I think it was black and white also.
It was black and white.
So these kids who love Leo so much are just like, oh boy, this is an endurance test of
like
my
a
fanhood.
A C-minus Woody Allen.
Yeah, it's not even a good Woody Allen movie.
It's not the best.
But they're sitting there thinking he's going to be like Leo again, and they're just like, have to watch this thing this 70-year-old man made.
Yeah.
That... He kind of hoodwinked their favorite star into being in.
Uh-oh, here comes a chopper.
These choppers.
There's so many choppers.
Uh-huh.
Crime deterrence.
Yeah.
Deterring crime
mm-hmm.
by being loud.
Yeah, and it, the other thing it deters is my sleep.
It deters my sleep, too, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, just constant police presence.
That is something I have no frame of reference for. Just choppers flying over
yeah.
and like doing like the searchlight sometimes
yeah.
like it's just like oh somebody's
the infrared searchlight that like hops around like and gives you a seizure
yeah
it's
so Adrian Grenier and Vadim
yeah and then he was in the Melissa Joan Hart movie Drive Me Crazy
with the Britney Spears
and that
song.
Was like I remember him I was just like, this guy's rich. Mm-hmm. And I remember him distinctly. I could be wrong, but yeah. I remember him going like, yeah, I don't want to fucking do this shit. But you know what? They're giving me 60 grand.
Uh-huh.
I was like, oh, my God, 60 grand. At that point, uh-huh. I was just like, you're fucking, yeah. you're an adult, man.
Yeah,
like,
that
wow.
is, that's real.
And it turns out that's like a lot of people's favorite movie, like childhood romance movie and
Drive
stuff.
Drive Me Crazy. Well, it had that Britney Spears song, and he was in the video for that too, right?
He was in the video, yeah.
yeah. So yeah.
he's a nice guy. He's a good guy.
He seems like he's like got a like he likes music and all that stuff. Like you always see him,
yeah.
with his band or whatever.
He had a band called the Honey Brothers for a while,
mm-hmm.
Ari Gold, with
sure.
a guy named Ari Gold in the band, no joke.
That's insane.
That's insane, right?
That is truly the weirdest thing.
It's a writer named Ari Gold. He's a really great yeah. writer, and he did the movie Gentleman Broncos, and mm-hmm. He was in the Honey... Yeah, Adrian played drums, is the
okay.
point, which is...
So you're rolling with Grenier... And Vadim.
Yeah. And then I discovered UCB
mm-hmm.
Through Vadim. I think I started taking classes there before they even had a theater.
Uh-huh.
And
Vadim was a Horatio guy too, right? Friend of Horatio?
No, I wouldn't say that. He was more, he was a guy I went to college with.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cause that, did I know Vadim ever?
Vadim?
Through anyone?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Was there another Vadim?
Me and Brett Gelman were in a sketch comedy group with Vadim.
Sure.
And this guy, Josh Perillo.
Okay.
That Jake Fogelnest, friend of the show, who is, I used to direct.
Okay.
Mr. Ass.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember Mr. Ass.
Yeah.
I remember I have a postcard somewhere for Mr. Ass.
Yeah.
You had a logo.
Oh, yeah. We had a logo that was a butt. It was like a Mr. character.
Yeah.
From the children's books, but it was a butt. And it said Mr. Ass. It was very cute.
They have a little hat on?
He had a little top hat on, too.
he
was fancy.
Yeah.
He's a fancy ass man.
So that's the initial. So then you and Brett. Because where'd Brett come from? Long Island?
Chicago.
Oh, Brett didn't come from. Why did I think Brett came from New York?
Oh, I don't know.
That's on me.
That's on you, bro.
It is on me, I guess.
So, yeah, we did Mr. Ass for a while. Mm-hmm. And then, and I did improv on this team called Mother.
Yeah.
With Jason Mantzoukas and Jessica St. Clair and Doug Moe,
mm-hmm.
Jesse Falcon,
mm-hmm.
lots of other people.
Yeah.
Lots of people.
When you would go there, like, what's the first show you saw there where you were just, oh, my God. Like a first, like, heavy hitter kind of night.
The first heavy hitter kind of night was the UCB at the Flea Theater on the west side, I think, and it was the four of the UCB with Adam McKay, Janine Garofalo doing monologues, and then Adam McKay and Andy Richter was doing improv,
sure.
And I'd never seen him do improv, and that was the thing I was like, oh my God.
Yeah,
this is actually good, because I did improv and just thought of it in a certain way. It was kind of like, whoa, and this was like making me laugh deeply hard.
Oh, it was like the funniest stuff you could ever imagine, and it's like I would go to I guess the first time I saw them would be at Largo when they would go up, and like, speaking of Marin, that's one of the times he was just like. Because that was like stand-up versus sketch improv at this show, the Eating It.
Was it literally stand-up versus sketch?
It kind of felt like it, because there was definitely territorial.
Yeah, sketch comedian. Yeah, stand-ups don't like improv people.
No, because because there's a lot of bad improv.
And they would exhibit that in the one time they held power. If they were introducing you as a character,
mm-hmm.
they would go like, this next guy, it's his name's John Daly.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, no, my character's name is Sappity Tappity.
Yeah, exactly.
And I need you to actually say that he's a drunk pine tree to make it funny or whatever.
Yes, please.
Please do my dumb thing. They were like, I'm not dancing, man.
Yeah, there was a real division.
Yeah,
in the scene, it's
absolutely
so crazy to
was.
Think about stuff like that, where people are like, I can't stand these improv people, and then the improv people are like, oh, the stand-up, that's old, 100-year, like, this old, we're doing something that's happening right now. And
well, it's cool right now, but I feel like the improv people are always just like, this is not as cool as stand. It can't be, you can't
really?
Think that it's cooler.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. But you're in this kind of like big community that supports you. Mm-hmm. So maybe,
But
I never did personally.
No, you always thought the stand ups were.
I was like, I just want to do that.
Well, there's like a vulnerability to going and being a character is such a.
Yeah.
Is such a bummer on some level.
Oh, if you have to follow it too. Like if a stand up has to follow like a huge dumb character like Bill Cosby Bukowski.
Yeah.
They have to come on and go like, all right, well, that was Bill Cosby Bukowski. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, let's get over that.
I guess that's what that was.
And yeah.
I remember one time Brett Gelman doing like a character at UCB in LA, and then Andy Kindler came up after him, and Brett was doing this thing where he was sandy and he had sand.
Oh, he
all
did a
over,
sand
yeah.
dance.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. He's like cleaned up the sand,
and he had the sand. There was sand all over the place, and then Andy came out and was just like eviscerated the idea that he now has to like walk, there's sand on the floor. It's like,
I think what I was been that
that was like, he was just like, what is this? And now there's sand all over the place and I gotta do the thing. Like, it just, that's what you reduce what the previous person did to, is just like they made a mess.
Yeah, and it's hard not to, like, we deserve to be made fun of. Like, there would always just be like, what the fuck was that? And everyone would laugh because it was just like,
it just like, but it is just the, it is like kind of deserving of the wrath of a comedian, because there is sand all over the place now. It's like, I come up to do my thing, I just talk into the microphone, you come up to do your thing, you have to throw sand everywhere, and the rest of us have to deal with it all night.
Yeah, yeah, we have to clean up, we have to be inside your mess.
Yeah, so... Yeah, so the I remember just you'd go on, like, I remember seeing them at Eating It on a Monday night, which was the show at Luna Lounge, not Largo, Luna Lounge. And they would I remember one night they like just passed out like pot to everybody.
Oh, really?
Like like they would just do things like, it was just like, man, it was a group that just brought pot for everybody, like that was their bit.
There was definitely ass cats where they'd throw out joints, but then it became just everyone throwing weed to them.
And but like, it's crazy to think about those people, like the volume of talent at that point.
Hi everybody, Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun
with the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank
they're
you.
Here, they're, thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Were you intimidated by the by that crew?
Oh, well, I think that by the UCB?
Or by that, yeah, by that original four.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, they, it was like instant mentors. I was like, as soon as I saw that show, I was like, what do I do to do this?
Yeah.
And signed up for classes like immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were all my teachers. So they were definitely like intimidating to different degrees. Like some of them are more... you know, gregarious or whatever.
Yeah.
But then I had like all of them for teachers, and then we were basically friends, and they're, yeah.
Then you end up doing stuff with them, and then you
turn
around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, oh man, there's a beautiful dog right now.
What a huge,
beautiful, a great dog. Large dog walking by. Wow. What a great dog. Just took a piss. Anyway,
yeah,
but that was a really cool, and like, invite them up, obviously, and I didn't go to like, I went to like two Largos, or no, not Largo, I mean Lunas,
yeah,
and then it, invite them up kind of started, but I remember a Luna that Matt Walsh asked, he like asked tons of UCB kids to do it, so they were like, it was called the, it was like, now Matt Walsh in his improv, it was Matt Walsh and John Glazer, and they were like, this is our new improv troupe, the Rootin' Tootin', I forget what the name was, but it was like the Rootin' Tootin' Laugh Guys or something like that, and they had like, they were making fun of what we were talking about, they had like 50 people come up on stage and go like, my name's Mark, my name's Johnny.
Was that was with Benjamin, right?
Oh, it was with Benjamin, sorry,
did that. That was me.
Oh, that was you?
I came up with that with Benjamin.
The Wranglers?
The thing where it was like everybody was doing multiple scenes at once.
Yeah.
All at once, and it was just like a sheer volume of...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like first word, last word.
Yeah.
And then it was just like... Rah, 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 rah. It was like... There were like 40 people on stage.
Yeah.
And then...
Wow.
Yeah, I came up with that idea.
You did this.
I was on stage.
That's incredible.
Isn't that crazy?
I can't believe it.
Together,
we were on stage together. I didn't... Wow, that's amazing.
But nobody knew me. I didn't perform or anything.
I didn't know Best Show at that point.
Yeah, no, I was just somebody who would just go to the things and be in the shadows and stuff. And but I remember telling John Benjamin, just like, what if there was like a huge improv troupe, like the biggest improv troupe, and it was just like
Crazy Wranglers.
Yeah,
that's Crazy what it was Wranglers. Called. Yeah, we're the Crazy Wranglers.
Yeah, and it was just, it was like Leo Allen and Walsh and everybody, and it was just like, all right, what's, we need a suggestion, first word, and then it was just like 15 or 20 individual improv scenes happening
at the same time.
It was so dumb.
Yeah.
That's what was
and the, making fun of improv and like was led by Matt Walsh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
just like, and so the point is being a part of that made me feel cool.
Okay.
I was like, oh my God, this is the best. Well, like this crazy? Show and then that, and then UCB and being involved with something with Matt Walsh. And then, yeah, that was very cool.
And that was me.
And you.
But I was isn't it funny you didn't know that I co-created that thing?
Because you were brilliantly pulling strings behind the scenes, which has been your, well, no, I can't, you're, you know, I'm you just create, saying, you're the creator.
I didn't know you were up there. That's so, it's, there's something.
Well,
so
that was like, I wasn't
that.
Doing any, I was just on an improv team and like trying to do good at cage match or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And wow, that's really funny. And this is something that I kind of retroactively picked up on, like, I'd say like 2004, 2005, like around there, people started, I think, imitating you en masse when they started going like, that's effed. Why don't you F like you and John kind of things?
Just like censoring
her,
or something.
Her A is F and like saying stuff like that. I feel like everyone at UCB started en masse doing that.
Okay.
Because maybe the UCB 4 were kind of doing it and it became this big thing. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Because like every ASCAT, every improv show, someone would be like, that's effed. And it became a thing that was like funny. And then I realized once I started listening to Best Show all the time, it was you. It was probably you too. Well, yeah.
That's really funny. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
But it was like a thing that people would, because it's funnier to not curse ultimately.
It is funnier.
It becomes funnier. And
unless it's Bill Cosby Bukowski.
Well, no, of course. Look, I think cursing is the funniest thing, too, though. So I'm not like, people are just like, do you hate cursing? It's like, no, I really love cursing.
Yeah.
I just think you have to use it strategically.
But for this, it works so good.
It's such a funny thing to have things held back a little bit.
Yeah.
And then whenever John and I would come up with, like pant faucet as a thing, and you'd just be like, that's more disgusting than
it's so much better
cursing. It's like, that's gross. It's like we're actually being worse in a way by coming up with euphemisms for things. So what are you doing getting through all this? I'm the first person you've seen face to face.
I'm the first person you've seen. Well, I'm quarantining with my friend, and you're the first friend I've seen besides Zoom.
Sure.
And yeah, I've been like, I woke up this morning, I made oatmeal in my rice cooker. Like, I'm making 3 meals a day, cooking a lot. I eat a toad in the hole every morning. Okay. I gave up coffee.
Really?
As a hobby to, now I'm drinking tea.
How's that going for you?
It was very difficult. Uh-huh. It was more difficult than giving up smoking, honestly. It was very physical, because it was physical pain. So I did
withdrawal.
A cold turkey, and I don't recommend it.
You don't recommend it? If you're going to pursue eliminating caffeine or coffee, you should slowly do it.
I mean, I felt like I had, that was the time when I was like, I have COVID. Oh my God, what is happening? And then I was like, I talked to my mom, and she was like, you quit coffee. What are you doing? I was like, because I just didn't realize it has, like, real withdrawals. Like, I felt like I had the flu and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was dumb, but now I'm drinking tea. I went to a drive-in movie. Mm-hmm. That was nice.
Okay.
Can we edit that out? Because I don't want anyone to know about it. I'm just kidding. I don't care. But
it's open. It's not like you
it's
went
It's wonderful.
In and-
yeah.
cracked it, and it's all safe distancing.
Oh, it's social distancing. They keep cars 10 feet from each other, and it's kind of a nice feeling just to go to the movies.
Oh yeah, I miss going to the movies. I think the last if this stays the way it is, the last movie I'll ever have seen in a theater is the Impractical Jokers movie.
I was going to see that on my birthday. It was a double feature with the new Pixar movie, Inward. I was like, well, that could be good, and I should have done it because drive-in theaters are better for dumb big movies.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm making a web series called Hippie in My Shed. It's about a hippie. Like, there's a hippie in my shed. I don't want to, you know, I set up a trap camera to, like, okay, you know, start filming him. And so it's just my back shed. There's a hippie living in there, and okay, that's the whole thing. It's a trap camera web series.
Are you the hippie? Who's playing the hippie?
I won't. Part of the, I don't want to break any reality. Yeah, that's, I'm just like cooking. I'm writing not as much as I want. And I'm, doing like hobbies and like playing guitar.
Yeah. Did you watch Tiger King yet?
I watched Tiger King.
You got to see this thing.
Oh, man. It's
this guy. I'm telling you, this guy is a character.
Yeah, the worst trash.
He's like, it is funny. He's getting like softened a little bit. Like the horror of what a monster this guy is.
Oh, yeah.
Is like softened by the fact that he's got a mullet. People are just like, well, he's a character. He's like, no, he's a character that shot tigers.
Yeah.
And it cost too much money.
And like crack pimped, meth pimped his like weirdly like meth snared men to his husbands.
Yeah.
And then married them like immediately.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, he's Joe Exotic. What a ridiculous, what a lunatic. I love him. It's just like, he's like the worst human going. Yeah.
Well, what's happening because of the documentary is his cult-like charm and charisma is actually just happening to America now. Like, he's a horrible, horrible person, demonstrably terrible things all the time. But America's like, you know what? He's funny. And he is. Yeah. Like, it's like his gun stuff. But he's evil. I mean, obviously.
Yeah. It is funny to hear people talk about just like, they do the Tiger King movie and it's going to be like, who's going to play Joe Exotic? And it's just like, nobody wants to see this movie. Like, what movie? Could you imagine like right now I'd go see a Tiger King. If I could go to the movies, even if it was just the Tiger King movie, I guess I'd go.
I'd have to go see it.
But still, like if the real world gets back to normal, the Tiger King movie comes out. It's like nobody sees
that. I don't think so. It's got to play itself out because that documentary is one documentary that is good for absolutely no one. Like nobody, it's all just porn.
Yes.
It's like there's nothing being elusive. Even the Wonderful Whites of West Virginia, which I love, is, you know, it's like there's a horrible opioids problem and that is what it's hallucinating. This is just garbage, trash, and then you think of a redeeming thing in it. There's nobody, and the whole point of it is like people who are involved with Big Cats are literally all evil in some way.
Yeah, they don't deserve to be in this. These cats don't deserve any of this. Like they're just victims from the second they're born. You got some jerk dragging them under a fence.
Yeah,
like to get a picture with them, like scooping them with a stick out of the mother's lair. Like it was just like she just gave birth to another one and grab it. Like,
yeah,
it was just like
being handled by a man who's like, I used to smoke meth, and now I do tiger stuff. Like, the worst possible handler.
Yeah, he's a monster. And, like, Wonderful Whites of West Virginia, at least that's made by, like, a smart guy who is, like, telling things from a point of, like, with a point of view, not just, like, pure exploitative trash. Like,
yeah.
You're right. No, everybody comes away feeling and looking worse with Tiger King than they came into it.
It's just like definitely.
It really is like an end of. It makes perfect sense that was the thing that was locked and loaded for Netflix to drop.
Oh yeah,
like 4 days after this started. So they were like, watch this.
Yeah, and now America is all. We're all the girl who lost her arm. We're all just looking into the void going like, I cut my arm, Joe Exotic basically cut my arm off and I still support him.
Yeah. And I guess I back him up because he owns the zoo.
Yeah.
And, Yeah, it's pretty bleak.
It's pretty bleak. It's pretty bleak, man. We can't. Yeah, it like does nothing for anybody, but it is like, and I thought like, just because the nature of the child of the kids in it, they're not children, but the documentary Cheer was like, they're at least like profiling, it's an interesting ecosystem, mm-hmm. and they're profiling like some kids with like really beautiful personality, like really amazing people.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll do some good, but that was, yeah. So, I don't know.
And they also have something. They have talent.
Yeah, they have something. Yeah.
The Tiger King, there's literally no one in it has talent.
Yeah.
Like, it is just a collection of charmless, talentless people where he puts records out that he didn't sing on, where he's just lip-syncing. Like
the most prolific. I'm jealous of his work ethic. I mean, good Lord.
But he did none of it. But
but
it's just amazing.
Just in volume.
Yeah. Somebody else had something drop as soon as this started, and that would be you. It seems like you knew the pandemic was coming also and had some content ready.
I did. I've got more content. I'm making an album, and so I've started to drop videos.
Because you put Cheer Me Up.
Cheer Me Up, yeah.
Which is
a shot-for-shot remake of the Rolling Stones' Start Me Up video.
Yeah.
Cheer Me Up is literally meant to cheer people up. And I'm, you know, me and Jake Fogelness basically had the idea for this.
Uh-huh.
Something like 4 years ago.
Okay.
And was like, dude, we should just do Start Me Up, but it's Cheer Me Up, and do this dumb video. Remember this video? Because I used to be obsessed with that video, and it's in Jake's wheelhouse and my wheelhouse, and so we were just like, you know what? I guess we're going to have to make this.
Yeah.
That was a feeling. It was destiny.
Yeah,
so it was a very destiny thing.
If you don't fulfill it, you're dropping the ball in a way, because it is meant to be.
And I've also, like, I've done Mick Jagger never on stage, but, like, I used to do it when I was a little kid, weirdly. Uh-huh. Like, because he dances in a way that I was just like, what is this? When I was a kid, I was like, the chicken dance part of it, I was like, how is this cool or sexy?
It is. It is unbelievable what flies like that when you're successful. Like, when you've, like, suddenly it's like, I think that's cool. It's like, are you sure that's cool? Yeah. Like if somebody came from, like, that didn't know the Rolling Stones existed or any of, like, their stature or whatever, and you showed them, I'd be just like, everyone laughs at this guy, right? They're like, no, they want to be him. They think he's the coolest.
Yeah, he's, like, the sexiest. Yeah.
They think he's cool and sexy.
Yeah.
And it's like, really? I thought you guys would think this guy was pathetic and talentless. how did you actually make that video?
We're lucky to get my friend Mia DiPasquale to produce it, and so we went on I think Craigslist Casting or Central Casting, and just got those people who were so lovely, and just like, we wanted the Rolling Stones to all be sad disinterested in the video, which the Rolling Stones are.
Yes.
But to be instead just those people and just make it the dumbest thing ever. And then my friend Andy Rocco, who I did a sketch show with at UCB back in the day, he was like part of my one-man show, basically. He was on drums, and so we had him on drums. We got the Lyric Hyperion Theater, which has just a great black wall.
Yeah.
And kind of Jake had the idea to just like, we could just do all we really need to do this is a black space, and we just need to be far enough away that it looks like Mick Jagger, you know, like at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it.
Just give it a little bit of distance at the top. And
And then I made the song with Cyrus Garamani.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who I'm making the album with, who's the best.
Yeah. Who you do a lot of music with.
Yeah. Yeah. And, but more videos to come. More videos to come.
So this album has been in the works for a while.
It's been a while. Yeah.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. Yeah, I should just release it. It's the time to release it. I've got to pare it down. It's too many songs.
Okay.
But
it's usually not the problem for people.
Right.
You have an embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, I have 20 songs. I want it to be like 11
mm-hmm.
or something, 12.
And are you going to just, are you going to, is there a label involved? Is there anybody?
Not yet. Any labels?
All right.
Let me know. Let's get it. Let's get it going.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It is good.
Yeah, I mean, thank you.
Because I've heard stuff on it, and it's your sax playing.
Yeah, I'm playing sax. Every song is a sax solo or some kind of horns on it.
Mm-hmm.
I do really dumb songs and very personal songs.
Yeah.
The most personal thing I've ever done, kind of. Like,
that's awesome.
About my family, about my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little, yeah.
Isn't that a weird place to, is it in a weird balance to try to strike between, like, where on one hand you can be, like, sappity-tappity, and on the other hand, you can be just, like, completely sincere about a thing? Like, to, like, that spectrum of how much of yourself you're going to share.
Yes. Well, I've realized that it's funny. I'm talking about this in therapy and to, you know, just, I've really started to, be like, you know, because I just did so much silly, absolutely crazy, ridiculous stuff that it just is just as satisfying and fun to kind of like reveal something about yourself. And actually, it's the only thing that makes me get interested in things in a way.
Is and put more of yourself in it?
Yeah, putting more of myself in things and just like being like, you know, more raw, some raw stuff.
Yeah, some raw stuff, exactly. I'm going to do some cool stuff.
Yeah.
Some slick stuff.
But it's going to be mainly.
Mostly. It's going to be raw stuff.
Oh, my God.
What a. That's Garth Brooks, his announcement video to Facebook. And then I just picture him looking at the comments and people calling him every name. And then suddenly he's like, dude. Yeah, I don't think I'm doing this anymore.
Oh,
like,
man.
Him being like, wait, why did I want to do this? People, I can see what people that hate me think of me.
But I bet if like you're a Midwest, like I just think of that as being like a mom in Indiana watching that. She's just like, oh my, what a man, what a wonderful man.
I mean, I saw this video and he's a good guy.
Yeah.
That is always funny, how everyone attributes like qualities to people that they really don't know, and they're just like, Garth Brooks seems like a legitimate cool dude. Like,
I think he is.
Like, but like we just have to hope he is. Like, right. I look at it, I see him, and I'm just like, well, his music never did anything for me. Seems like he gets it. I guess I'm okay with him. Maybe he's a little cornier than I'd want to be. It's like, but I know nothing about like Bill Cosby's the perfect example. It's like everybody attributed all this stuff to him, and then they're just like, who would have bet like in the 80s, just like, yeah, this guy dies in jail. Like if there was like
pretending he's blind.
Yeah, if there was a casino taking odds on that, you'd be a billionaire now.
Oh my God.
You'd be just like, yeah, I'm going to put $5,000 on Bill Cosby dying in jail. And they're like, really? You know, the odds on that are, it's like, yeah, no, it's 700,000 to one.
Yeah.
But here, like,
I used to, the first tape I ever bought in my life was Bill Cosby himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started going into the back catalog of Bill Cosby and, you know, my entire childhood was like, and that was the first thing where I realized, like, wow, he was around in the 60s and this stuff's about the 60s and like stuff. Little did I know. And then I used to imitate him, but I was really doing Eddie Murphy's imitation of him.
That is funny.
One of the funniest things ever.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the first time you realized Bill Cosby was like a, like you could see how to do the impression of it. Like of somebody like, nobody,
perfect.
No, it is the best. I don't know.
What were we talking about?
You get sad. You get sad sometimes during the pandemic.
Dude, I can't even. I mean, wow. It's rough. It's rough. It's such a mind F.
Yeah.
It's a real so there are times when I have weirdly a lot of fun. I'll say the good things are that like I've had fun watching videos online with people on Zoom. Doing trivia literally was like really fun. And there's just times when I like whatever, play guitar for a couple hours and I'm like, This is great. The only, but it's insane because everything is insane. And the real, the wake up thing is very difficult for me. But if I just.
The wake up thing, you mean the.
Waking up in the morning.
Just
and
literally
getting
saying, I need to start another day.
Yes. And it's going to be like this. Yeah.
What's the longest ramp up you've had on a day?
I thank you for coming because this is the morning when we're doing this. Yeah. It's a beautiful morning and
it's really nice.
It's a great thing to break, you know, just break into the day.
Yeah.
But I would say, there have been whole days when I'm just like, you know what? Today's going to be when I get good at this video game. Or like I built a Stonehenge type wicker man stone structure on Animal Crossing or whatever.
Uh-huh.
I made a big like sacrifice altar and I was like, well, that was something. And yeah, I've definitely, but that's, it's an interesting, like when I'm in a good mood, the introspective nature of this time is beneficial. I think there's like things about it that I'm like, this is good, but I have to say that to myself a lot because it's just lonely. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Driving me crazy.
It's just some days I start off and I'm just like, here we go. This is going to be literally the most productive day of my life. Watch out. And then there's other days where I'm just like, I realize I've seen this episode of Workaholics already.
Oh, my God.
And I'm sitting watching Workaholics.
Yeah.
It's strangely, the things like everybody gravitates toward for like comfort. So like for you, Animal Crossing, a lot of Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing, Bed Knobs and Broomsticks, and Grand's Pillsbury Cinnamon Rolls.
Okay, yeah.
And tons of mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make a chicken stew, uh-huh. Curry chicken, and then like the next morning, leftovers, I'll crack a couple eggs into the curry chicken stew, put some rice, dip it in an egg wash, put it in the front pan, and that's some sort of weird conglomeration patty, and then kind of eat that very slowly.
Yeah. And what is the thing that you took for granted about the real world?
Getting out of town very easily and California being so easy to just like just everything. Yeah, traveling to see my parents, oh my God, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My family, my like but just like immediately like having the option to go out of town is like super important to me, and go to Big Bear, go to the mountains, or get out of town and do stuff. So that's been a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then just human contact.
Yeah, that's the thing for me, is like I realize like so much of what keeps me kind of grounded involves like either sitting in a coffee shop for a half hour or like walking around a bookstore or just like going to these places that are just very simple and calming, and then those are not there now.
Yeah, like, and like I'm sure like people have tweeted this, but like going to a party that you don't even want to go to.
Yeah.
Like the privilege of that.
Yeah.
Like I hate this. My bad on swearing, but I hate this person. You know, I don't really like the crowd. Jeez, but I have to go to this party. All right, I'll go to it. And it's whatever, or maybe it's fun or bad.
Mm-hmm.
That alone is just like, wow.
Yeah.
I wish I could do that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Go be disappointed by a movie that I'm at.
Yeah. Nobody's going to be like making limp excuses to get out of a party. Like the first time anybody has a party, everybody that's invited to it is going to show up at it.
Yeah.
Or they're going to just be like, yeah, no one didn't come.
Yeah.
Like everyone we invited showed up and they're all so grateful to be here. That's actually a good time.
An improviser just hugged a stand up.
Yeah. Look at that. The world's coming together. If you're kind of like somebody who people don't like you, and your best bet is to have a big party as soon as this is over, because everybody will come to that party.
Yeah.
Like if you're one of those people, you're just like, I think I'm on the bubble of whether people like me or not. Like you gotta out of the gate be ready to have a party, and everyone, you will have a full attendance at that party.
Yeah.
And then you could turn, you could reinvent yourself a little bit.
Yeah, it's a time of reinvention.
Yeah.
I feel like that is real. Uh-huh. Like, and the introspection that's happening is positive and negative is, you know, at least something to adapt to.
I think, yeah.
Actively adapting keeps me sane.
Yeah.
And finding ways to actively do things. And also, working out is the only thing that makes me feel happy for about an hour and a half.
Sure.
And then it's over.
And you're doing, like, heavy. You're doing, like, what are you, like, benching, like, 450?
Yeah, I'm benching 450. I'm leg pressing 780.
Like, working the things that...
No, I've got all old-timey workout stuff, like the belly jiggler.
The box that you go into.
Yeah, the steam box, and then the pull things, the pull machine.
Oh, yeah, the mounted to the wall.
Yeah, mounted to the wall.
Kind of lunging. And then the medicine ball.
Oh, the medicine ball is huge for my workout routine.
Throw the old medicine ball around.
Yeah, I throw it to my neighbor over the wall.
Sure. So you see that was how people worked out. And then, like, yes, like, yeah, that makes sense that, like, the guy who played Superman was considered, like, jacked.
Yeah.
Who was just, like, had a roll.
Yeah, he's like a fat guy. And clearly had a girdle on that he, like, talks about. He's like, yeah, that was a tight girdle.
And he was, like, considered Superman. Like, literally, there's nobody better than Superman, and that was the world Superman back then. It's like, yeah, of course, he's pulling the thing on the wall. That's what he does. Yeah. He does that for 5 minutes and then gets in the steam box.
Yeah, and he's like the healthiest guy in America. Yeah, there's only one vein popping out on that guy, and it's in his forehead. Yeah,
back then it was just like everybody was just drunk all the time, smoking all the
time. Just like visible alcoholics. Yeah.
Like always a cigarette in your hand. I don't know. I think there's good stuff, and
are you having fun? Like, are you?
Oh, I'm okay.
It's like okay. Yeah, that's what everyone. I'm just like it's okay.
I lose my mind.
I'm going sometimes. Crazy. Yeah, it's really. You know? Yeah,
I don't know, but I guess what are you gonna do? You gotta just.
I feel like it's gonna be relatively the same. I don't know. I mean, it might change. There are going to be things, hopefully, like too many of our freedoms won't get destroyed. But, you know, but
more choppers.
Here come the sprinklers.
No more choppers. Like, you know, up in the air. Like, you look back like a year from now, it'll be just like six choppers going by.
Yeah, I know.
Patrolling.
What's going to happen? Like, I wonder what Vegas, if Vegas takes a hit. Do they take a hit or are they just... good forever.
But how could they not take a hit? It's like that place, the way that place works is just volume of people.
Yeah, no, that's that's a dumb
like walking
thing
the
for me
strip.
To, right,
like,
right.
Oh my god!
Like, and it's Disney, right? It's mainly Disney now, right?
But what's that going to look like? Like, how can you
just people going there? Wise, they have
to go see the fountains and the things that people used to do in Vegas,
right?
Just like.
Lose money.
Yeah, lose money and just be crowded around a craps table. It's like, is there going to be two people at a craps table now? Like,
yeah, no, that's ideal for me because every time I play craps, I have to relearn it.
Uh-huh.
And sit there and go like, what does this mean?
I always just, they could just lie to me at a craps table and be like, yeah, you lost.
Yeah, and
I'm like, oh, okay, yeah,
they could lie
bad,
at me at a blackjack table and be like sorry, buddy.
Just to sweep the cards back away. Like, yeah, nope, he got this, you didn't get it, sorry. Yeah. Like, house wins, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, I know.
Those games are, I'm so bad at all of them.
I love blackjack. I love going to casinos. I went to the Grand Canyon last year and stayed at a casino on the Navajo Reservation called Twin Arrows, and it was... so wonderful, and I just like got room service and then went downstairs or buffet and just went downstairs and played blackjack and you know, like, ended up winning like $5, but just I love it. I'm not a gambling guy, but blackjack is really fun.
There's no, well, first of all, there'll be no more like buffets like that. Like, would you ever want to eat at a buffet?
Oh my God.
Again,
the sneeze guard, it's gonna be all sneeze guard.
it's like there's just food out in the open here, you just scoop whatever you want on your plate, and so does everyone else. You're just trusting. It's such a Such a leap of faith.
Well, have you been to a grocery store, like a physical grocery store? They have those big plates of like plastic around the cashiers. It's crazy. I drive out of town. There's one grocery store I drive out of town to go to.
Okay.
It's very safe, and there's only like 12 people in it at a time. So.
Yeah, yeah, they're controlling the flow into these. It's like things like that. It's just so. It's like a bad movie.
Yeah, I didn't have toilet paper for like a while. Uh-huh, like a craze. Yeah. I went, just kept driving around like San Fernando Valley, and I was like, I'm not gonna not have toilet paper anymore. Yes. It's not gonna be real that I don't have toilet. Yes. Yeah.
It's you're gonna outlast this quest.
Yeah, no more wiping my butt with aloe, like Kleenex. The worst.
Oh no, it's a pretty. I think there's a lesson in here somewhere, right?
What are the lessons? Yeah,
maybe. What would be a lesson? You don't need to buy stuff all the time.
Yeah, that's, I don't need to. You know, it's not. The one thing that, like, getting in the rhythm of cooking stuff is good. Mm-hmm. That's a positive thing. And, like, I'm literally health. I feel better.
Sure.
Like, I eat out every meal. Yeah. It's, like, a problem.
Yeah.
And if you do that, like, you're, like, unhealthy because people just put stuff in food to make it taste good.
Yes. Like, yeah, exactly. No. It's yeah. So maybe people being a little more self-sufficient.
Yeah.
Will come out of it.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. And hopefully it'll make CEOs treat their employees better.
Yeah.
You know, because there'll be like, oh, you destroyed lives.
Yeah.
Like, hopefully people will get minimum wage will be $15 or whatever.
Just that there'll be a value put on human life, maybe, a little more. It seems like people now have to say, like, I don't exist for my... I am not my job. That is not who I am.
Yeah.
I'm more. My job is a part of who I am, but it's not what I'm here to do. It's not why I'm here to live or die by.
Yes.
Job.
Yeah.
And I think people can also maybe appreciate experiences a little more, not just be so like jaded with things.
Oh my God! When they break down the kind of like. It's going to be large gatherings. Mm-hmm. It's going to be small gatherings, and then eventually it'll be large gatherings. Like, I'm just like, oh, I savor the, like, just going to a gathering. It's so wonderful to go to a big concert.
Yeah. Like, oh, no. Just thinking about the what that'll feel like. It'll just be like, I mean, because, like, when I watch these movies and stuff, now everything feels like these people are going to be okay. They're sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
Like, they're touching it. Like, those two strangers just touched each other in this. Like, they're just shaking hands. Like, what? Yeah. Are you crazy?
Is shaking hands going to go away? Is it going to be that kind of deal?
Would you be okay with shaking hands going away?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I'd
be okay with it.
It is a great thing in that it's like you can tell a lot about a person by their handshake.
It is true.
You kind of can.
Yeah.
It's like, true. Yeah.
Who's given you a weird handshake in your life?
Yeah.
Because I can say Michael Shannon.
Ooh.
Michael Shannon just like, I met him at a thing and he just literally just dropped his hand like dead fish in front of me as if it was like the royal family or something. And like,
oh man,
I was so thrown by it. Like there was no, especially that guy. You think like, man, this guy's going to crush my fingers.
Yeah.
And he's just like, he just dropped his dead fish into my hand. I was like, ugh, I don't know what to do with that.
When he's in his Boardwalk Empire character, his handshake will just break your hand.
Yeah. Now in real life, it's much different.
It's kind of limp. I've definitely just gotten like, just insecure, wet fish hand, like dead fish handshakes are really the worst.
Yeah, because then you're just like, I don't know what to do with your hand. Like you're.
Yeah.
Like, or like a really sweaty hand.
Yeah, that's aggressive.
That's the word. And then there's the people that crush the finger. Like, they move and they just grab your fingers.
Yeah, if you're like making somebody's fingers like, you know, accordion down at all, you're a piece of crap.
Yeah, you're
like,
bad.
You're a bad dude.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, is that like a macho thing? Just like,
yeah.
I'm just going to crush your fingers.
Yeah, it's like the kid in your neighborhood who's like, he high fives you too hard and he's like, and you're like, well, that just is it's a terrible experience. Yeah. So why do I have to be up for it?
Yeah, it's not the spirit of a high five or a handshake.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not some tough man competition.
Yeah.
Oh, so what was your year going to be and what is your year going to be?
Wow. You know, I'm going to start a podcast now.
All right.
I wasn't really thinking of doing that, but now I'm going to do it.
You had the Rafflecast, which was one of my favorite podcasts.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I love it because you were somebody who truly was doing whatever you wanted episode to episode.
Right.
Where you didn't hold to like a format and just be like, this is what the thing is and this is what it's going to be.
Right.
Till the end of time.
That's why it got so popular. Yeah. JK. But, it was that. And it was more of just like, I want to see if I can do this.
Yeah.
And, and do a write a different bit every week. But man, there were some good ones I'm very proud of, including one with Brian Husky that I played The Edge and he played Jack White.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
And then there was one with Josh Fadem where we're film reviewers, but we're these old guys who don't know how to open DVDs. And we're just like, I couldn't open a DVD. That was pretty funny. And then there's a couple things that I listen to now and I'm like, what was I thinking? Like, you know, everyone has some duds, but like when you listen to it, it's like, it assaults me. There was this English thing I did and I was just like, I'm just doing a Monty Python recorded bit kind of thing and kind of imitating them, and I can get very self-hating, but it was a fun thing to do.
Well, as an audience member, I felt none of that, so
oh, thank you. That's good.
It was that also was that Entourage thing on that, the writer's
that was
room?
Yeah, was the that? Entourage season 3 or 4. We just kept the show Johnny Bananas from the world of Entourage, which stars Kevin Dillon's character Drama. We kept that as if it was real, and it's me, Gil Ozeri, Adam Pally, and a bunch of other people. Yeah. You have to be on it.
Yeah, I was on it.
You were on it. Oh, yeah, no, you were on it. I'm sorry.
I was not in L.A.
My bad. That's right. You called in. But, yeah, maybe we'll do it. It's fun to do that, like, every 7 years or something.
Yeah, Johnny Bananas season 14 writer's room.
Yeah, I think the last thing, Yahoo Answers had picked it up. Like, we're on Yahoo Answers. We got 4 episodes.
So what is this podcast going to be?
I can't really, it's going to be personal, but I can't really, I don't really know. I'm eventually going to have guests on, but I think it might start with just me doing some stuff.
Good.
Because it's got to be, I've got to just, like everybody, you know, just like, be prepared for it to morph and change, and so I'm going to be very open and start doing things totally solo. And then this is such a good format for podcasting. I just need a longer wire, honestly.
I went to Mikey's hookup,
and it's so much better than, you know, Zoom or Skype, little pauses, and it just feels fake.
It's
great to do this.
I think it's awesome that you're looking to do that again, and then you're also looking to do it like from a more personal angle. I think is great, because that's always the hard thing, to be like, oh, I'm gonna start dropping some of these things, like the because they're like walls ultimately, like characters and all that, and just even like personas and things like that. They're all ways that we can hide the deeper version of ourselves from.
Oh, absolutely. So it's all a wall.
Yeah.
Sappity Tappity is a wall. But is also very personal to me, so it's weird. But definitely doing more just, you know, it's really a self-exploration, essentially. I'm trying to find out stuff about myself. And my friend Joe Wong does this great podcast called The Trap Set. He's a drummer, and he interviews drummers. He's interviewed Phil Collins. He's interviewed every drummer. And now interviews just musicians and artists. And I was really just admired his thing, because he has a mission statement of like, I literally, my mission statement is just to get to know myself. And that comes from me interviewing other drummers, because I think drummers have a unique personality, and I'm one of them, and I want to, I just think that's cool.
Sure.
And keeps the engine going for learning about yourself, you know, and like, that just seems like a good, what I realized about Rafflecast too was there was no like, I was just like, well, I could just come up with bits, or I could just write bits and pitch shows or something, you know. I was, and it took a lot of time too, obviously.
When you decide to do something other than just like turning the thing on and blabbing, it's just like, it immediately takes a lot of time.
When you're editing
and stuff. And then when you hear just like people like Louis does a whole hour a year at talking, like that's the most amazing thing ever. It's like, and that's, if I only had to produce like one perfect hour a year, I'd be like, what am I going to do with the rest of my year? It's like, I'm cranking out, how many hours am I cranking out over here?
Yeah.
Of stuff. It's like to do
three
one
a week.
Yeah. This guy's doing 1 hour a year.
Yeah.
And everybody's supposed to be like,
and if you wanted to like take your favorite bits, it'd probably be like 19 hours.
Yeah.
You
know? It's such a weird thing to like, so, well, I'm glad you're going to do a something that's more personal to you. That's
yeah.
Awesome.
It's cool. And then I'm just going to keep doing really dumb stuff too.
Get that album out.
Keep making videos, put the album out. Labels, hit me up.
Yeah. Labels.
That will be, yeah. And then like, I was going to tour, you know, and I was doing South by Southwest, and I was going to kind of use that to tour the South, and that is not happening. So that was like the first thing where I was like, what if they would have had South by Southwest?
Oh, no, it would be.
Oh, my goodness. Like, wow.
Texas would be wall. People would have the wall that they wanted.
Yeah.
Except it might go the other way, though. Like, it would go like along the other states.
Yeah.
The wall, just keeping people in Texas from leaving Texas.
They'll finally secede.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, I think we can get through this, John.
I think we can get through it. It's just keep your head up. Don't quit coffee. Yeah.
Or if you're going to, do it very gradually.
Yeah. Very gradually, and keep it green tea for a while.
Yeah.
And I've been watching a lot of good movies. That's nice.
That's good.
I saw Night of the Hunter.
Yeah.
And what is the deal with, it's Robert Mitchum.
Yeah.
And he is in, he's Max Cady.
Mm-hmm.
And Night of the Hunter preacher.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about? And they both have tattoos, and they both quote the Bible, and they're both murderers.
Yeah.
So not to spoil it, but it's just crazy that, I just didn't know that. I didn't know that Night of the Hunter was so, and it's a superior movie to me.
Yeah.
But I, maybe not the, the Martin Scorsese Cape Fear is my, one of my faves, but.
Yeah, yeah. But it's still, and Robert Mitchum is in Cape Fear.
Isn't Cape, both Cape Fears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in as, was he like an attorney in it, I think?
He's either an attorney or a cop, yeah.
Yeah. I think he might be an attorney in it. That movie is so creepy, that De Niro one.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
When he's in the movie theater with the cigar.
Oh, the watching Problem Child.
Yeah. Oh,
and just going like,
yeah.
Like, just laughing at Problem Child.
Yeah.
Like John Ritter.
in like a womanizer, Nick Nolte.
And that scene when at the young Juliette Lewis at auditorium in the school is one of the creepiest things that's ever
horrifying
been filmed.
And one of the most indelibly acted scenes of the 1990s. Like, one of the most just like, oh, no.
Yeah.
What is going to happen? Yeah. Like,
when you do a thing like that, if you're like Juliette Lewis, you should be like, feels like Hollywood should be like, all right, here's $50 million for that one scene, because you've added to, you've added to the preservation of this business.
Absolutely.
With that, it's just like, you shouldn't have to worry about anything ever again, because this industry will be built on the back of you doing
on small like things like this. Like, yeah. I mean, not that that a movie is small, but like, yeah, or like, give everyone in Goodfellas.
Yeah, like, exactly. Just they should just be given $30 million each
by the mayor of Hollywood. Yeah, exactly.
The mayor of Hollywood just like, thank you for making something that keeps the magic of movies alive.
And we
give you, here's a check for $30 million, Joe Pesci.
You get to lead the Hollywood Christmas parade.
The cast of Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Well, I better hit it.
Okay, cool.
This is so much fun.
Oh, man. Great to talk to you. It's so great to see you, man.
It's so great to see you. I miss you.
This is a wonderful thing you get to do, just doing this. It's so lovely and nice. Yeah, I miss you, too.
That's so.
Let's play Zoom trivia.
Okay, I'm around.
You don't know Jack.
We can Zoom it up.
Yeah, quiplash it up.
All right, let's do it.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Or whatever. Okay, cool. Thanks man.